Welcome to Creative Conversations. I'm Roger Humphrey. In this episode, I'm pleased to welcome the eclectic and very unique guitarist, composer, Stepan Rack. He talks about his playing, compositional style, and even grabs his guitar to play some for us. A bit of a warning though, the internet seemed to have blocked a lot of his music, so I was only able to record, you know, a lot of silence, punctuated with a few notes here and there. Zoom giveth, Zoom taketh away. Before we begin, please take a moment to hit the like and subscribe buttons. It's free and easy and very handy way to support the arts and this channel. Thanks. And we are welcoming to the program the wonderful Czech guitarist, Stepan Rack. Hello, sir. Thank you for joining me.
Hello. Thank you for the invitation. That's very nice.
I have to tell you, and I posted this earlier, I am such a fan of yours, and I have been a fan of yours for a very, very long time. I love your music, and my young students, I don't teach anymore. I only have a few that are kind of lingering, but mostly I don't teach much anymore. But the young students used to love to play the song Moonlight that was in the Royal Conservatory series. I think I even sent you a video of one of my students at one time, a little girl.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, she's still a student. She's a young lady now and getting quite good. She will she has one more year of high school and then she'll be off to college. I'm sure I won't see her again after that, but anyway, she really enjoyed that very much. And this morning, as soon as I got up this morning, I saw your post, the song "The Scent of Summer Meadow" that you had written for your friend. What a beautiful song, sir.
Thank you so much. You know that Ferda, he was really my best friend in all my life, and we spent so much nice moments at that meadow of my grandmother. So that we were there like in a miracle. That was sort of miracle that the time and childhood and everything, so that the inspiration which came, it's just according to that fantastic moment or these moments which were unimaginable, and I keep it in my mind all the time. And Ferda was really such a guy who I never met anyone like him.
We are very lucky to have those special friends, aren't we?
Yeah, and imagine before I started playing guitar with Ferda, we used to play violin, and we took a lot of violin lessons by really maestro, Professor Koza, who was a member of Czech Philharmonic. And so that he thought I would be a violin player. Unfortunately, he died, and I stopped my violin playing. And after that, I started my guitar. I was as old as nearly 80 when I started my guitar.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So I was wondering how your compositional style is uniquely your own. And I like that a lot. So many guitarists who are trying to follow the path of Andre Segovia, and everything seems to be down that road. And you are over here somewhere. And it's not like you disrespect that, but you have found your own way, and I think that's marvelous.
Oh, thank you so much. My first profession is a painter. And I studied painting art, and I became a painter. But after that, I started, during the time, my guitar playing. But inspirations were people like Elvis Presley, like Little Richard, like Beatles, and so on. And so that I didn't start just a classical guitar, but I started as a classical musician on violin, so that I converted only these styles. But what you mentioned that about my own composing way, it's because of I'm painting and I try to paint by music. That's the most important thing if I want to express somehow my style, or how you call it. But I think that's unique because it's a sort of painting art using notes, using music.
Right. I read a quote one time that said that we decorate space with art, and we decorate time with music. And I think I really love that quote. And now that you explain that, a lot of that makes much more sense. Your music is very expressive, and technically very interesting. You do a lot of this with the right hand, and I did when I was a child or a young man. And somebody sort of beat that out of me, told me I shouldn't do that, that I should stay in this particular style. And I watch you play and I go, I missed the boat there. I should I should have continued to do that. But I love it. I love it.
I never forget Jack Duarte, you know, for sure. He was the first who brought me to England, and he helped me to organize my concerts over there, the Kennington campus. And he also invited me to a lot of other occasions. And most of all, I would say that Wigmore Hall, my concert at Wigmore Hall, is 40 years this year. Imagine.
Wow.
Yes. And it's 40 years since I played at Wigmore Hall. And I used all of these, my techniques, just on that concert. Unfortunately, there is no CD. That was made by George Clinton, who was a great friend of mine, and he published quite a lot of my music. And he had also a very important magazine, Classical Guitar, but he died.
I remember that magazine, yes.
Yes, very, very young. He died very young, and I became very sad about that. But he was the guy who really helped me to make my name somehow in the world. And most of all, I would say name, Vladimir Mikulka, who was the very first who played my pieces and who won the first prize in the Paris competition in 80s somehow.
Wow.
And so that he was the youngest, I think, at that time. And he was playing a lot of my music. And he had two CDs with my music and with Koshkin's music. And
wow. He good company.
Yes, yes. So that... I think that Vladimir was the guy who really helped me the most in my life as propagation, publicity of my music, definitely.
That's wonderful.
John Williams, and John Williams, who played my piece Darwiniana, also, that was marvelous. He played it in Prague Spring Festival years ago, and he got magnificent success with that piece.
That's so wonderful. I don't perform anymore, but I was thinking the other day that and particularly as I was preparing for this interview, I went back and listened to some of your music that I'd listened to in the past, and I thought, you know, your song Hora, I would love to have learned that and performed that, because that's such it's such a fun song. You know, and it's fun. It looks like it would be fun to play, and I know it was great fun to listen to, and so I know that an audience would. Oh, here we go. Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Just a short example. So that I'm using all five fingers, including pinky.
Uh-huh.
So that's sort of my technique, which I teach. And I was teaching at the Music Academy of Prague. And I had also a lecture recital at the Royal Academy of Music in London long time ago, and in many, many other countries. And so that this is the way which started my professor Stepan Urban. I don't know whether you have heard his name.
I know the name. I don't know anything about him.
Yes, he was the founder, sort of founder of modern guitar in Czech Republic, and he was composer too. And he told me one day, I remember it forever, why should we make invalid from our little finger? So just use it, he said. Yeah. Flamenco guitarists, all of them, they just use for rascados.
Sure.
Pinky. And I started using that finger just on purpose, as if it was normal finger, like the other ones. So that all these. You can cry, you can do all the possible things like dynamics within this line of this sound, so that a lot of my pieces I do in a sort of symphonic way, I would say. Once John Duarte told about, after my Wigmore Hall, he told that I did my best to introduce guitar as if it was a symphony orchestra. So that was a nice joke, but he really told it.
I was listening to, actually, for a completely different reason, but I was listening to your song Hiroshima.
Yes,
and
the one.
And that struck me as being so orchestral. And mm-hmm. and so I was going to say, oh, yeah, I was the first one to think of that, you know. but it, your music is very textural and very orchestral in that way. And very rarely do we hear that. And the excerpt that you just played a moment ago, you were doing something that a guitarist rarely does, and that is you put the melody and the our point of interest in the lower register while you were playing the chords on the upper right.
Yes, I do things. Also dynamic.
Yes. Yes.
Dynamics, and so that this I teach my students as well, and I am very proud to have such a student like Pavel Steidl.
He was your student. I did not know. He is a wonderful player. Oh,
yes.
Extraordinary player.
I must tell you that many times he was my teacher. Actually, because he's so good, and he did so many of innovations that that I tried to do something like he did. But I think we influence each other very much, and he's just fabulous.
He is a wonderful guitar player. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I have enjoyed his playing for several years now, and admired his playing. I've never been that good. I talk better than I play, but so the other thing I wanted to mention about Hiroshima, if I may, and interject something kind of personal here. My father fought in World War II in the Pacific Ocean, in the war over there, and he was one of the first American soldiers into Nagasaki after the war.
Oh, gosh.
And I heard stories, of course, but I remember him saying one thing very specifically, and it stuck with me forever, and it sort of applies to your song Hiroshima as well. He said that when he got off the boat and walked into Nagasaki, he said, it looked like the end of everything. And that phrase, that sentence has stayed with me my entire life, that it looked like the end of everything. He said there weren't even any bugs. I mean, there was nothing. And so when I hear Hiroshima, that brings that sensation and that feeling to life for me. Mm-hmm. So you did a wonderful job.
Thank you so much. Do you know what? I have very close relations to Hiroshima because I was born the 8th of the August 45.
Oh, okay,
And
sure.
Hiroshima was the 6th and Nagasaki was the 9th. So that I was born just in the middle of them.
Yes.
And I always could feel sort of gratefulness to the life that at the time when so many thousand people died in the moment I
Yes.
was born. And it's so important for me to know that I started composing Hiroshima just because of this aspect. And I wrote it also for a big, large symphonic orchestra, so that it exists also in this way. Unfortunately, the guitar version I keep only in mind. And imagine it will be 80 years, the anniversary of Hiroshima, the set anniversary, and my 80 years as well. So
Yes.
that I think this is very important. And in Hiroshima, there was one special moment when long time starting increasing this sort of drums,
I remember that.
which is I do it now very abbreviation, but.
Oops, it's not coming through.
So on. So it's just incredible in dynamics and
It really is. Unfortunately, much of that got lost. I think the internet ate it, so we didn't hear it. But I would recommend to anybody who's watching or listening to this interview that they go to YouTube and listen to it, because it is an absolutely stunning piece of music. And
thank you.
yeah, it's wonderful. So I have to touch on also, I'm kind of running through a lot of stuff here. I came across a story on your website that you wrote a piece called Guitarotherapy with a guitar made from stone that had been gifted to you. Is that right?
Yes. It was a guy, he lives, of course, Jan Řežicha, very good to pronounce for English speaking. But he's fabulous and he's unbelievable because he does from the stone everything. He did also the guitar, violin. He made also the sheep, and he's able to to get with this sheep across the river. It's
Oh
unbelievable.
my.
Yes. And when he approached me years ago, what would you say if I make for you a stone guitar? I thought it's a joke. How.
Yeah.
I really thought that it's just a joke, but he did a real instrument. And if you look at my website or if you watch my YouTube channel, you can find playing on this stone guitar, and it sounds unbelievable. I must tell you, it's just something like a miracle. You can't believe that. Verde Guatemala is a rock, and it's you wouldn't we wouldn't believe that it might get such sort of acoustics and vibration like this particular stone.
Huh. Yeah, I will definitely have to look that up. I was not able to find that, unfortunately, but I'll look for it a
Just
little
look at
hard. I'll
it.
try a little harder
Look
next
at
time.
it.
So, and I was pleased to see in much of your music, and I've seen this over the years because I've been listening to you for a while. You sing occasionally too. And you have a very nice voice.
Thank you so much. I just do it because it's another sort of instrument, you
Of
know.
course.
When I play the smetana, for example. All now. And I try my best, you know, to use my voice as if it was the instrument. I do these things quite a lot, not only because of singing itself, but I'm using whistling as well for some special effects, like. And so on.
That's marvelous. I love that. You know, I've had the privilege and within the last couple of months of interviewing several composers, and it's just the excuse me the innovation and that is apparent in today's new compositions. I'm saddened that a lot of this gets lost in the shuffle for the. For the sake of, I guess, more familiar pieces, but and a performer has to do that, unfortunately. But it is a treat to hear new music being written for the guitar and for orchestra and new opera being written and things like that. And I've become more and more and more aware of that. So, and the idea of the innovations that you're bringing to the instrument, which I think harken back to, you know, a couple hundred years ago when. The guitar was also a popular instrument, but I think there was a different type of virtuosity at that time.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
So.
And I would say that I'm also very happy that some of my pieces were published also in United States. And
Yes.
Matanya Offi, of course, he published my Balalaika, and Stanley Yates, he published a lot of my pieces, also the album of Stepan Rak music and so on. You know, I would say that the most important thing for me is that guitar is not only a music instrument, but guitar is a miracle. And
I love
Professor
that.
Urban always was telling me, don't play music on guitar, just in the contrary. Play through your guitar, make your music. Not to play on guitar, but with the guitar, with the help of guitar, to present music itself. And I think it's very important.
I used to tell my students, and I've told people over the years, I have never in my life considered myself a guitarist. I consider myself a musician, and the guitar is simply the tool that I use. And that's kind of how I feel about it. It was interesting to realize, and I thought about this this morning as I was preparing for this. That I thought, well, it'll be interesting to hear you speak, and because we've never had a conversation, and I thought I've been listening to you speak for years. It's just through the guitar. Just it was such a silly moment for me. As so, I do have to, before we run out of time, I do have to mention also, you are an award-winning photographer. How did that come about?
Oh,
here we go.
Thank you so much. You know, this is the sort of album of some my photos, and I am very, very grateful to my friend Lenka, who is responsible for this to be published, so that I have quite a lot of photographic exhibitions. And the photography is another way how I tried to somehow be myself. Because I started, as I told you already, just a painter. But during the period of studying painting art, I started my photography as well. And I continue in it. And now I love it, really. And I do quite a lot of work as a photographer, too. But I am trying to join all these subjects together. Photography, music, and just words. You know, I must mention, I am happy to mention, my many, many years long fantastic collaboration with one of the best our Czech actors, the foremost actors and narrator, Alfred Strejček.
Uh-huh.
We traveled to the whole world, four continents, nearly 40 countries around the world with our project, Vivat Comenius, dedicated to a Czech priest, the last priest of Czech Brotherhood, Johann Amos Comenius.
Okay.
His life was given by the years 1592 until 1670. And we had this program in 8 different languages, and we visited so many places on the world, just fantastic Uffizi gallery, where we played in front of the real picture of Rembrandt, and on this picture is Comenius. And I played just next.
Oh, how cool is that?
Unbelievable! You know, this is just fantastic. That Comenius, he did enormous work as a philosopher, as a peacemaker, and so on. And unfortunately, his name is not so much known in Czech country like in the world.
Uh-huh.
So that we really did a lot of different ways in all the possible places, which is hard to imagine where we played. And that everywhere it was taken just with enthusiasm, and either in America and in England and in Italy and Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. So that in New Zealand, Maoris, in the end, when we have Tempus erit quote comeni, Tempus erit quote comeni, Turba bonorum facta quas pesque tuas, vota quipsa, quo quipsa colen. Now imagine we started with it's in the end of the program, and we walk away singing this song and playing a guitar. We go throughout the whole hall, and all the Maoris joined us and went out with us to the nature. And where we got an official welcome of Maoris, including Comenius, he got as well. So that these are unimaginable moments, which I never forget. And I have also a special piece of music, Vivat Comenius, just as an instrumental piece, which I played quite a lot as a suite. And also some of these pieces is playing Prague Guitar Quartet, one of the best quartets nowadays.
Okay.
They are playing quite a lot of my pieces as well. And so that the Comenius was for us very, very important person. And Markéta Pankova, who was the director of Comenius Museum, he did enormous work for Comenius and his publicity. And she was the woman who helped us to come, for example, to Italy, to this particular place in Florence, that Gallery Uffizi, where we played. But if I mentioned my friend Alfred, I have to say one thing. It's over 7 years when he got paralysis of limbs, but he never gave up his fight, never. And he is struggling against this destiny, I would say, with, you know, sort of a laugh. He is giving so much to the others. Just doesn't matter in what just difficult situation he is, because he can't move too well and he can't eat himself and so on. But he is helping the others so much. And so I composed for him a special piece of music, which consists of 8 parts. Is a
Wow.
Suite Once More. Is his life saying, so that once more, once again, he never stops. And just the basic theme of it. Rondo is only part of it, but it has 8 movements and very, very different movements. And I'm playing this everywhere now in all the concerts.
It's marvelous. One of the things that I have enjoyed about your compositions is the optimism that seems to.
Thank you.
You are a very optimistic person, sir, at least on the surface.
Hope so.
Sometimes. And believe it or not, with that, you know what? We are out of time. I am going to have to say goodbye. So, and thank you so very, very, very much for taking the time to talk to us and play. I really enjoyed that a great deal. And sing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well,
I'll see you.
Bye-bye,
my friend. I want to thank Stepan Rack for taking the time to come on the show. I'd also like to apologize for the technical difficulties. I urge you to go to his YouTube channel to listen to him and to watch him play. There's a link in the description. If you or someone you know is learning guitar or ukulele, you should go to www.rogerhumphrey.com and wander around a bit. There's a lot of stuff there that you'll find helpful, and most of it's free. There's also a link to my Patreon page. That's a subscription service that will give you access to over 150 unique arrangements for guitar and uke. Hey, thank you for stopping by. I hope you'll check out even more episodes of Creative Conversations with Roger Humphrey real soon.